Not hoping in the government. Not hoping in myself, but all my hope is in Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. If you love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Join with me and let our visitors know how welcome they are and how much we love them. Glad that they come to worship the Lord with us this morning. Amen. Praise God. And I wonder if we could put our hands together for Jesus this morning. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So good to see each and every one of you this morning. Our hopes and our prayers are that you are all doing well. Amen. And he came to worship the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Hebrews this morning, into the 11th chapter. From the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, we want to begin with verse number 24 this morning. Praise God. To bring to you what we feel that the Lord has laid upon our heart. Has God been good to anybody this week? Amen. What a great God we serve. What a mighty God that we serve. Amen. For the life of me, I do not know and understand how people get along in this world today without the Lord. I find myself having to have counsel with Him each and every day. But I've always found Him to be there. I've always found Him to be attentive. And I've always found Him to be full of grace. Amen. Thank God for His mercy. From the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse number 24, thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. Beginning with verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused, everybody say refused, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for another day and another opportunity to gather together this morning in one mind and one accord. God, to receive that you would have us to hear this morning. God, I pray for this congregation. I pray, God, that you would just rain down that heavenly manna. God, that you would use this vessel. God, anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, is nothing more than a vessel, God, for you to speak to our hearts and to our spirit. God, I pray for each and every need this morning. God, every sickness, every affliction. God, especially for those who have undecided, God, about the decisions, Lord, that they need to make. Pray, God, that you would cause them to find an altar of repentance before it's everlasting too late. And Father, I pray this morning that this word will go forth, God, and do that you would have it to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. One more hand clap and you may be seated. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, glory. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have an anticipation when it's time to get into the house of the Lord. I know that we can feel the Lord anywhere, anytime, and thank God for that. How many's glad He's mobile? And how many's glad He can go with us wherever we go? But there's just something to be said about the gathering together of saints of God, worshiping and glorifying and praising God. I want you to lay aside every thought, every burden, every problem, every issue that you have had to contend with this week and put it in the hands of the Lord. How many knows that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think if we'll just turn it over to Him? And let's give our undivided attention to the Spirit of the Lord this morning that I feel is in this place. Amen. Thank God for the songs of praise and worship this morning to let us know and understand that all of our hope is in Jesus. And you know what? That's really the only place we need to put our hope anyway. Amen. If we hope in other things, I mean, they'll come to failure. But if we hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, how many knows that He will make a way? From the passage of Scripture this morning that's in this very familiar passage, often known as the faith chapter, man, how many knows we have to live by faith? Faith is wonderful. We have to operate by faith. But this morning I want to touch on these four verses, and if I had a message title, it would be Making the Right Decision. Making the Right Decision. How many knows that life is full of decisions? Decisions that we have made in the past, some have worked out, some have not. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that we need to consult the Spirit of God, amen, before we make any decision. So many decisions are made today without ever thinking about the consequences, without ever thinking about the future, and unfortunately ever asking God to help us or direct us in our decision making. I thank God that I grew up in a house that my mom and dad placed their faith in God, and many decisions were made on the basis of whether it was God's will or not, because sometimes our will does not coincide with God's will. Can I get an amen? Amen. Have you ever been there? So many times we think that we've got it all worked out, exactly where we need to go, what we need to do, the way we need to get there, and then we bring it before the Lord, and it's not His way at all. But how many knows His way is right? Amen. So making the right decision, we find Moses here, that he has reached a very interesting time and a point in his life. I don't know the exact age, but Bible history tells us when he became an adult, when he became a mature in his reasoning and in his thinking. Amen. I believe that in order to be a good, free-thinking adult, amen, we need some guidance in our adolescence. Amen. How many knows that we still need to raise up our children in the fear and admonition of God? Amen. We need to not only send them to church, we need to take them to church. We need to still have our Bible time together, our family prayers, and because when they reach that age of spiritual maturity, whenever it is, that they will make the right decision and decide to follow God and dedicate their life and their service to Him. So the Bible tells us that when Moses was come to years, in other words, when he began to realize that he was about to step out on his destiny, when he was about to enter into the maturity of responsibility of being an adult, he began to think and he began to look around at where he was in this particular state of his life. And he began to look around, I would imagine, and began to see what was at hand. And he began to see what was around him. We understand and know the story of Moses and how that he was drawn out. By the way, that's where his name came from. He was drawn out of this little basket in the bulrushes, hidden by his mother so that he would be protected, found by Pharaoh's daughter, and raised in the wealth and the wonderful environment of a palace, and probably had everything that he desired right at his fingertips. And now he finds that as he reaches this age of maturity, that there is something missing in his life. I don't know if you've ever been to that situation, but maybe you have been raised in a wonderful environment. Maybe you've had a lot of things to go your way, but how many knows there's sometimes that we have to make a decision that material things is not what's going to get us through this walk of life. And we need a deeper relationship. There's something missing in our life. And I believe this was the case with Moses. I believe that he began to contemplate where he was at this point in his life. Now, I don't know how much about his past that he was familiar with. I would imagine that Pharaoh's daughter had shared with him somewhat. But I believe, according to this, and if you go back and read in the book of Genesis and how all of this came about, I believe that there was something stirring in Moses' spirit. Many can identify with that. Something that the treasures and the comfort and the ecstasy of a palace will not fulfill. Something that material things in this world cannot really satisfy. There's a longing. There's something missing in our life. I remember as a young teenager, I was raised in church, and thank God for that. But let me tell you something, folks, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but being raised in church doesn't mean you're going to make it to heaven. Come on, how many knows that when you reach that point of responsibility, when you reach that point where you feel that there is a longing, and listen to me, young people, it may happen at different stages in your life, but there will come a time when you realize that all of this world and all the allure of the things of this world can never satisfy the hunger that is within a soul. And I wish, my Lord, that people would understand that today. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. righteousness, and then there'll be room for all of these other things that God Himself will supply. But Moses began to feel a longing, Brother Jim, that the comfort of this palace could not fulfill, and the wealth and the riches and all of the things that were surrounding him could not satisfy that longing in his heart. I remember sitting on a bench in church and worshiping and praising God, but still there was something missing, because I had not made that ultimate decision to give my life to Christ. I had not made that decision to come down to an altar and ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins, even though I was raised in church. There was something missing in my life. And thank God, that night in Rockmart, Georgia, when I came down to an altar of repentance, and I forgot about everything that was there and everybody that was there, and I poured my heart out to God. And thank God, I found that all my hope was in Jesus. He loved me. He forgave me. And He filled me with His Spirit. Thank God for the decisions that we make in life that are based on the will of God. He refused. Man said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that is words that kind of roll off our mouth, but think about the decision that he was making. Basically, what he was saying is, I don't need this wealth. I don't need this notoriety. Don't get me wrong. I imagine he was very thankful for his raising. I would imagine that he was very appreciative for where he was in this particular life. In fact, you know, he could have been killed, but God's anointing was upon him and allowed him to be raised in this kind of environment. But I'm here to tell you today, through the Word of God, all the wealth in the world is not worth going to hell for. Come on. We must make a decision. We don't have to live penniless. We don't have to live without things, but we must first have Jesus Christ in our life. And then how many knows God will take care of the rest? Amen. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I wrote here that refusal requires strength. We're living in a day and an hour where we're not really trying to be free thinkers. The majority of the people today are trying to think and act like the majority. They're swayed by their decisions. Some will not even have the strength to speak up their own convictions, their own ideas, their own opinions, because they're afraid that it won't be popular. Can I tell you, we're living in an environment when living for Jesus is not popular. Come on, it's not a society club. When we come to church, it's not to see or to be seen. It's coming to the house of God to worship God, to lift Him up, to glorify Him, and to praise Him, and to equip ourselves to go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel those that are lost to come to the knowledge of Christ. Man, take strength to refuse the things of the world. Because Satan, the adversary, in all of his deceit, in all of his allurement, tries to sway us and tries to sway the people today to desire the things of the world. Moses had to make a decision. Do I continue to stay here out of the will of God, but in the comfort of all of these things? Or do I turn my back on the things that I'm accustomed to, the things that give me peace and joy and contentment in the things of the world? Do I forsake those things to follow God? And I don't believe, now you may differ, but I don't believe he made this decision on the spur of a moment. How many of those decisions need to be weighed? Many, many times, quick decisions mean problems down the road. But if we contemplate those decisions, if we pray and fast over those decisions and ask the will of the Lord, amen, God will lead us and guide us and direct us in the path that we need to go. I believe it weighed on his heart for maybe several days or weeks or months. But he realized that even all of this, and I want you to understand how that he was raised. He was raised having everything he desired.
He didn't have to work. Come on, he didn't have to wonder where his next meal was. He didn't have to worry about picking up his clothes. I imagine somebody was there to take care of his every need. But something was missing in his heart. There was a void. There was a hole. There was something there that this could not give him that contentment and that satisfaction. We're going to get to a little bit later on what it was that he was looking for. But right now, he could not put his finger on it, but he realized that this was not where God wanted him to be. I mean, he knows that sometimes where we're comfortable is not exactly where God wants us to be. Come on, we need to be led by God. We need to be obedient and submissive to God. But so many times, refusing the things of the world requires strength. Refusing to participate in the things of the world requires strength. When I was going to school, it was very popular. The saying was, be your own man. Be your own person. Think for yourself. As long as you think like everybody else. We preached being individuals, but we were a group mentality. You didn't want to be different. You didn't want to stand out in the crowd because you would be so many times put down for your ideas and all. But thank God, how many knows that once in our life we need to realize that we're not here to please the world? Come on, we're not here to please man. We're not here to be a part of this world. How many knows this is just a means to an end? Glory to God. I think even church folks sometimes get too caught up on what we have in this world. Everything that I've got, amen, is just on loan. Everything that I've got, amen, is just a temporary thing. I got something, glory to God, worth waiting for. Wait till you see. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared for those, amen, that have made the decision to turn their back on the world and live for God. It's going to be worth every problem. It's going to be worth every trial, every persecution, every situation that you've ever faced. Glory to God. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared. Glory to God. But the decision is ours. And we must make the right decision. Listen. In the world today, decisions are made on how it benefits oneself. What's in it for me? You know, I was in a supervisory role for a number of years, and how many knows that generations change a little bit? There was a time when a job interview meant, you know, well, what are my chances for bettering myself? What are the chances of promotion? How high can I go with your company? What kind of ceiling, if there is a ceiling, on my ability to produce and make money? And those kind of people, amen, when you interview those, you know, they're going to be self-motivated. You're not going to have to micromanage them. They're going to be motivated because they want to exceed. But can I tell you, in the twilight of my working career, I would interview certain people and questions would arise. How many sick days do I get? And I'm thinking, how many you gonna need? Do y'all take an hour for lunch? How many paid holidays do we get? And you know, we're looking at, do you want a job or you just want a paycheck, position, man? You know, well, I don't want to start out here. If you got any openings up here, come on, hallelujah. Choosing the convenience, choosing the easiness, choosing the path of least resistance, wanting to start out here rather than working their way up to it. Now imagine all of those choices as they faced Moses. And probably as he's making these choices, this is just Eddie Island-isms, okay? Don't take it to the bank. But I'm thinking as he's drinking from his golden cup, surrounded by his probably sterling silver forks and spoons and all of the niceties of the table, the adversary is saying, "You want to do what? You want to leave the pleasures of this world? You want to leave the niceties and the luxuries and all of the things that you can have here? You want to leave those to know, to go where God knows where?" That's not a question. That's a statement. I'm going where God knows where. Amen. I don't have to know where. As long as I know God, I know He'll lead me. I know He'll direct me. I know He'll guide me. Amen. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. God's never failed me. He's not going to fail me now. So imagine the adversary is saying, "Wait a minute. You better think about this." And I thought about that today. And I thought about the decisions that people are making today. And my heart goes out to the young people, because I look and I see the things that draw young people today. And I see the adversary at work in that. You may call it technology. You may call it all of these other things and the things that the world has to offer, and entertainment and appeasement and contentment and comfortableness. But I see the work of the adversary in that. He can do anything that he possibly can to divert your attention and your devotion to God and His service and to the world. And we must make a decision based on our faith in God, based on where we want to spend eternity. Come on. Because we got to understand, these things are temporal or temporary. You must lay up treasures in heaven where rust and moth cannot bother them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. There's a stock market that my wife tells me, "Do not watch it. Just leave it alone. Don't check it." I said, "But honey, have you seen what's happening this week?" But can I tell you, all my hope is in Jesus. What little I have in the stock market may be completely drained dry, but I got a treasure in heaven. Glory to God, that never goes south. Amen. It's always gaining. Glory to God, it's going to be there waiting for me. God tells me through His Word that I'm going to receive a glorified body. I don't know if that means a whole lot to you, but I'm going to wake up. There's not going to be an ache in my body. There's not going to be a pain. I'm not going to have to take medicine. Glory to God, I'm not going to have any issues there because of what's laid up for me in heaven. Who wouldn't want to choose God rather than the world? Hallelujah. Choosing rather the affliction over pleasures. Now, we can say that. And we can say, if I was in Moses' sandals, I would have made the same choice. But would you? Would you? Turning your back on the wealth and the fame and the luxuries and the riches of this world to follow God, whom he did not know where he was going. But he chose the afflictions over the pleasures. Can I tell you that spiritual wealth is far greater than worldly treasures? Man, the story, man, of Lazarus and the rich man. Two very different lifestyles. One had everything that his heart desired. The other depended on others to sustain him. And the Bible says something. Even in the diverseness of these two individuals. They were, you know, just absolutely polar differences. One had all this luxury, had everything. The other set out and begged. But even in that, there was a common factor between them. The Bible said they both died. Come on, they both died. Lets me to know and understand, whatever your position is, whatever your environment is in this world, will in fact come to an end. Amen. And what have you done to prepare for the next world? What have you done for prepared for eternity? Glory to God. Is all of your hopes and dreams going to melt away when you close your eyes in death? Or maybe you're going to say, Lord, as I close my eyes in death, I open my spiritual eyes to what you have in store for me. They both died. Abraham, the bosom of Abraham is where the beggar, Lazarus, went. But the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Do you think that he would have made a different decision knowing what he knows now? Come on, it's time to choose. Time to choose. The correct choice right now is to choose the Lord. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had recompense under the, he had respect under the recompense of the reward. I wrote here, we need to focus on the reward and not the journey. Too many folks are focused on the journey. Too many folks are focused on hardships rather than the reward. Too many folks are focused on persecution rather than in eternity. Amen. Free from all persecution. Amen. Too many folks are concerned about the day-to-day activities of just getting through this life rather than what awaits on the other side of that spiritual Jordan, that great divide. Amen. That when I leave this walk of life, I will not turn back. I will not look back at all. Because what awaits me over yonder is far greater than what I'm in now. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Focus on, amen, the reward and not the journey. Glory to God and keep your eyes on Jesus. He also says in verse number 27, this is really where I want to get this morning. And I know many of you said, well, I thought she's about through. Come on, focus on the reward, not the journey. By faith, he forsook Egypt. We read that so quickly and just kind of skim over it. But look what it took to turn your back on what you have been accustomed to for so many years of your life. What made him do that? Was it because that he was mistreated? I don't see that. See that he was taken very well care of. Had whatever he needed. But can I tell you, there comes a time in our life when things will not satisfy. Oh, they're happy for a while. We can enjoy them and they bring pleasure and all of these wonderful things. And I'm not preaching against things as long as you keep them in the proper perspective. And you got to make your priorities right. We read about a lot of people in the Bible who had a lot of things, but they put God first. Amen. But if it comes to making the decision, these things are God. We should never hesitate. And there was something drawing Moses. I thought about the calling that God places on people. And personally, when God placed a calling on my life, I tried to just kind of pass it by. I tried to just kind of say, Lord, that's probably not your will. That's probably just me thinking. I offered every excuse in the world that I possibly could. No, Lord, but you know what? It wouldn't leave me. Come on, it wouldn't leave me. I remember my granddaddy. He thought that, honestly, when the calling was on him, he thought he was having a heart attack. He was getting prepared to leave this world. Amen. This is before he ever got saved. And isn't that amazing that God's calling was upon his life even before he got saved? God already knew where he wanted him to be, and my granddad didn't know it. So he thought it was a heart condition. He thought he was honestly dying of a heart attack. So this was before Six Flags. This was before Disney World. And he had always heard about Coney Island. And he decided, before he died, he wanted to go visit Coney Island. Because he was sure that whatever it was going to take him out of this world. So he went to Coney Island, and you know what? He said it was a big disappointment. It wasn't really what he was looking for. You know why? That wasn't what was bothering him. There was a calling upon his life. You know, when that thing left, when a little lady from Atlanta, Georgia got on the bus and rode out to Rockmart, Georgia to have a little prayer meeting. Amen. Sister Linda mentioned the women. The women started a prayer meeting. And from the prayer meeting, their husbands finally came. And out of those four ladies, or those three ladies and the lady from Atlanta, came three pastors of Pentecostal churches. Amen. Who wasn't even saved at that particular time. There was a calling upon them. My granddaddy finally gave up and went to one of the prayer meetings, and my granddaddy was a little bit proper. He had his hair slicked back and he dressed up to a T, you know, and he always said, if I ever decide to get born again, he said, I'm not going to act like a fool. I will not shout all over the place. He said, I'm just going to go down to the altar, and I'm going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with my hands folded and my hair still in place. But how many knows God doesn't always do what we think he's going to do? Oh, that night, amen, in the living room of the ladies who live there in Rockmart, Georgia, hallelujah. Let me tell you something, the Holy Ghost don't need a church to come down into. The Holy Ghost don't have to have a temple. The Holy Ghost don't have to have a tent revival. But if two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in their midst. And the power of God came down in the midst of that Holy Ghost filled living room. My granddaddy got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He shouted, he moved, he run around. He said when he came to, he was over behind a rocking chair with a guitar case laying on top of him. Now, I don't know if he said, my hair, my hair, my hair. I don't think he did. Hallelujah. Because he made a decision because of the calling that was upon his life. Moses said, I appreciate it. Thank you for my time here. But I can't stay here. Because there's something in here that's calling me. And I got to go. And I got to follow it. And this decision is based on faith. Because I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know what God has in store for me, but I just know I can't stay here. I got to go. And he made that decision. He forsook Egypt, leaving the comfort zone. Don't you know Satan was with him every step of the way? What do you think you're doing? You don't even know if you're going to have food for tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to have a roof over your head. You're leaving all of these things. But how many knows when that calling is there, you can't get away from it. Hallelujah. Thank God. I told somebody, and I've told several people, thank God for his convicting power. If every church service I went to before I was born again, and all I felt was the Spirit of God just patting me on the back saying, son, you all right, I never would have went to the altar. But there was a convicting power of the Holy Ghost that seized my heart. Oh, it was uncomfortable then, but thank God for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It caused me to get up in the middle of a congregation, amen, and put my desires behind me and put my pride behind me and fall down to an altar of repentance and seek God and ask God to come into my life, because that calling was upon my life. Making the right decision requires dedication, commitment, and above all, faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He made a decision. Basically is what the Bible tells us. Not fearing the wrath of the king. You understand that during this time, Moses had actually been responsible for the death of one of the guards. He thought it was done in secret. Come on. Man, but when he was out and he saw two of his Hebrew brethren fighting, he went to break it up. One of them said, "Who made you prince over us, thou that killest?" Let me tell you something. The sins that we have done and the secrecy are still illuminated by God. Because God sees everything that we do. Amen. And your only hope is in Jesus. So when you come, you open up your heart's door as an open book, because God always sees it anyway. And you ask for forgiveness. And how many knows that God is plenteous in forgiveness? And His mercy and grace is wonderful. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Don't give up. And I want you to look at this. As seeing him who is invisible. God did not make his presence visually known. But that doesn't keep us from seeing God. There was a little boy who was out in a vacant field. And he had his kite flying way up in the air. Man, it was doing good. It was one of those perfect days. The wind was just right. He had already reached the limit of the string, and he tied another ball of twine on it, and that thing kept rising and rising up beyond the clouds. And he's standing there holding that, and this man walks by and says, "Son, what you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." And the man looks up in the sky. He said, "Well, I don't see it. How do you know it's there?" And the little boy didn't skip a beat. He said, "Because every once in a while, I feel a tug." I said, "Have you ever felt that tug?" Somebody says, "Can you see God?" "I don't have to. I just feel that tug." Glory to God. I don't have to see him sitting in the seat by me when I'm driving on I-20, because I can feel his spirit. I don't have to see him face to face when I walk into the doctor's office and the news ain't good, because I feel a little tug. Amen. I don't have to see him visually when I walk into the sanctuary, because when I come into the house of God and we get in one mind and one accord, I begin to feel a little tug. In fact, I feel that tug right now. I feel the power of God. I feel his unction right now. Thank God. I'm addicted to it. I can't live without it. Thank God that he's with me everywhere that I go. I can't see him, but I can feel him, and I know he's there. Glory to God. Enough so much that I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm going to walk where God leads me. Understand, this was before the fire experience. I mean, remember the fire experience when Moses was out on the back 40. And he saw this bush that was burning. Amen. Moses, take your shoes off. Amen. Place where you stand is holy ground. God had a mission for Moses. Thank God he made the right decision. Young person, maybe the only things that are on your mind right now is the pleasures of this world. But can I tell you, having been there and having finally made that decision, the pleasures of serving God far outweigh the pleasures of this world. most of the pleasures of this world, I won't say all, but most of them have a dead-end street. They'll start you off with an emotionally high and just chew you up and spit you out and leave you somewhere on the back street somewhere, spiritually. Man. But every morning when I wake up and I feel the presence of God, I'm so thankful that I know that He is living within me. And especially when I lay my head at night and go to sleep, I know that if I don't wake and see this world, I know where my destination is. Amen. Because, not because of me, but because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And when I reached that age, the decision was really easy. It was really easy because I chose to follow Christ. I choose to be a Christian. Nobody's making me do it. I know it's not popular. I know it's not politically correct. The church today is facing a lot of abuse, a lot of ridicule. But that only makes me know that much more certain that Satan knows that his time is short. Glory to God. And I'm not giving up. I'm not turning round. I got my eyes on the prize. Have you made that decision? Have you weighed that decision? Or have you been too preoccupied with the things of this world to get serious with God? Are you one of those persons that are banking on the grace of God and thinking somewhere in the not too near future or not too distant future, I'll make that decision? Can I remind you that neither you nor I have the promise of tomorrow? The very breath that we breathe is on loan from God. He gave it. He can recall it. But have you made the right decision? Have you given your life fully in the hands of God? Are you still trying to hold on to this world? First, it is a decision that every individual has to make for themselves. Oh, if I could make that decision for everybody, I've told you before, I'd lay this microphone down and I'd just go out and shake hands and make that decision for everybody. But it is an individual responsibility, one that we must make. Would you stand? Would our music please return? Every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying. I do feel that tug, and I do feel the anointing power of God in this place this morning. And as a pastor, as a brother, as just a friend, I ask you to take spiritual inventory of your life right now. Are you still waiting to make that decision, hoping that one day things will get better? And let me tell you, they'll never get better until you make that decision to follow Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you feel that unction, if you feel that tug, please come to the altar this morning. We'll pray with you. You don't have to go home in the same condition that you came. Is there one this morning? Come on, saints, pray. Come on, entertain the Spirit of God that is in this place. Hallelujah. Is there one? While every head is bowed, please, every eye closed. It's a very serious time of the service. If you need prayer and if you want prayer, just lift your hand up right now. If you're not ready to come to this altar and you have a need, I just want to see your hand because I'm going to be praying for you this week. And I'm going to be praying that God will meet that need in your life. I love you from the depths of my heart. I would not stand in the pulpit and preach this if I didn't love you. And I want to see every one of you in heaven. That wonderful reward that Jesus Christ has laid up for us. May God bless you. May God keep you. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer.